the daily incest.
daily, get it? Double entendre.
Geek Juice Radio.
No one to hear you, baby, just me.
He lives with his mom and his whale penis.
I'm the juggernaut, bitch.
What you would imagine you would hear if you got raped while playing Tetris.
Visit our website at www.geekjuicemedia.com.
Welcome, everybody. Thank you for listening to Geek Juice Radio. We've got a great show for you tonight. Last week, if you listened to us, we were talking about 80s music. And now we're going to just completely go to the other end of that spectrum and talk about 90s music. A lot of good, a lot of bad. That's what we're going into today. Joining us tonight, my name is Charlie McMullen. We have got Alex Chowski.
How's it going?
Kevin Daly, or K-Dal, as I like to call him.
Apparently, my name is also Peppermint Patty.
That's right, sir. You're doing a good job. And Josh Hadley, or J-Had.
Yeah, as a last-minute replacement, because Alex Jowski sucks.
Well, you're going to have to edit that.
Witness protection and whatnot.
Hey, no, I've used your real name on the show before. Everyone
just
knows.
Just bleep it out. It, like, changes the tenor of his voice. Like, it's one of
that'll,
those...
That'll build a mystique. Not joining us tonight is Mr. X. He was going to be on the show, but...
I guess something must have come up.
Probably didn't want to be on the same show as me, because, yeah.
I
don't know why, just a gut feeling.
He didn't like peanuts that much.
I guess so. Hates Peppermint Patty.
And Peppermint Patties. The York candies. Can't stand them.
Before we get into 90s music, Charlie, you had something you wanted to say about the wonder of cock rings?
Did I ever? Cock rings, butt plugs, double-sided dildos. All of this and more could be yours if you go to adamandeve.com, use the promo code JUICE, as in this geek juice is all over my leg. And here's the things you'll get. 50% off a single item. Free shipping within the U.S. 3 free DVDs. There's nothing to compare that to. That's 3 DVDs for free. Who are you to kick that out of bed? Nobody. That's who. And also a mystery gift. That could be anything. That could be lube. It could be something that requires lube. It could even be something to clean lube up.
And just use the promo code JUICE.
But let's get right into it. Let's go around the table, even though we're all in different buildings. Favorite band of the 90s? Mine, early to mid-90s, it was Primus. And then as I got into high school, Weezer became my favorite band of the 90s.
I'm going to have to agree with you on Weezer, because out of all the bands that started up in the 90s, Weezer is the still one I really, really listen to all the time.
And they just keep getting better. Am I right?
They do.
I liked Pinkerton.
That's
like everybody else.
Pinkerton was good. Yeah.
Well, I got to ask then, Charlie, for a little clarification. A band that you really liked in the 90s, or a band that started in the 90s?
A band that you really liked in the 90s. Like, their music reminds you of what life was like in the 90s.
Because, like, one of the bands I absolutely loved is actually from the 80s, technically the 70s. When the Misfits came back in 96, I believe, 96, 97, when they reformed with Michael Graves. You don't know how many times I listened to the American Psycho album.
That was a good album. I would consider the Misfits a 90s band, because they really found their groove in the 90s.
But the Danzig era is like from 79 to 82, so that's why I asked for the distinction of a new band or an old band. Plus, there was the rise... I liked a lot of the thrash bands like DRI and RKL, Testament, stuff like that, who really did start in the late 80s but didn't come into their own until the 90s.
And I got nothing against Danzig. I like Danzig. I just think he's like of the rare case that where he was better after he went solo. And the Misfits were better after he went solo as well.
Until the post-Michael Graves stuff, which is... Have you heard the new stuff? It's terrible, man.
I don't know if I'd call it terrible, but I mean, like, Project 1950, I really, really liked.
I hated Project 1950. I bought that blind and then went, oh, what do you give me for this?
I loved Project 1950. Fucking Marky Ramone on the drums, man.
And I've seen that era of I've seen the Michael Graves Misfits live 3 times, and just Project 1950 did nothing for me.
When in Rome, I guess. Kevin, favorite 90s band?
Much like I'm the new wave guy from the 80s, I am the third wave ska guy from the 90s, so Real Big Fish is the band that always reminds me of the 90s.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, I listened to a lot of Real Big Fish.
I did. I listened to a lot of ska for, like, there was a very brief window in the 90s. I would say from, like, let's see, when was that? It would be 97 to mid-97, where I listened to a lot of ska. I listened to Real Big Fish.
The
and,
summer of ska.
Yeah, exactly. Because I was working at McDonald's. The song Sellout was really
did
big.
Did Sellout resonate with you?
It resonated so much. I'm like, holy cow, these guys are really, really speaking to me. And
their new album, by the way, is excellent. But yeah, mostly from the 90s, they're most famous for.
I've seen really them like three times. Their covers.
Yes, their covers. I've seen them three times in concert. They always have a fun show.
A couple of times at karaoke, I've sang their version of Take On Me. It's not easy.
No, it's not. Ska music was my walking music all the way to and from school throughout high school.
Aren't you proud of yourself for making so much progress?
Yeah. Because now it's J-pop is my walking music.
Exactly.
It kind of fits the same niche, that upbeat sort of, I don't know how to describe it, like happy music. You got that, didn't one of your J-pop bands do a ska song?
Yeah, Morning Musume had a ska song about ska.
Well, it's good to listen to when you're walking because you can't really be, like, tired when you're listening to ska music.
Nope.
It's easier to walk to ska music than, you know, keep up energy while listening to The Smiths.
Yes. When I have to walk a long time, I'll put, like, a bunch of Andrew WK on the iPod when I'm walking.
Jowski, you should check out Tokyo Ska Paradise Orchestra. It's a Japanese ska band.
I will definitely check them out.
In preparation for tonight's show, though, I was just thinking a lot about 90s music and what, like, younger people now, when they think about 90s music, they think of grunge, like Nirvana, Pearl Jam, because that's when it became really popular. And when I say grunge, I mean, like, mopey, sad bastard grunge.
Or perhaps if they were maybe later in the 90s, they think of that awful nu metal that came around.
Oh, my God, like Limp Bizkit and Linkin
Park. Nu metal is, okay. Yes. You know, Kevin, you know I'm a heavy metal fan. That stuff is not metal. I am an old man shaking a stick at the sky now. That stuff is just noise to me.
Oh,
I don't
here.
Hear music in that stuff. I hear a bunch of idiots going, and that's all.
Well,
I
and
hear.
It's like you drop the bass and the guitar three steps and it just kind of becomes all muddled because human ears really can't pick that up very
and the
well.
The fact that it was called nu metal but spelled N-U.
With an umlaut.
You can't ever have enough umlauts, though, and it's true.
Because in the
I'm not even really a big metal guy, but I still hated that with all the fervor of an actual metalhead.
And see, I was looked down on because not liking it, everyone kind of, oh my God, you just don't want to hear anything new. Nobody can do anything that's not the old stuff. And it's like, no, I'm willing to give it a shot. It just sucks.
Hipsters aren't born, they're created.
But beyond nu metal, one of the worst things we did in the 90s was Celine Dion became a big pop sensation.
I blame Dustin Kidd for that.
Yeah, he has to answer for all the crimes of Canada.
Yes, he represents all of Canada, so.
And remember Fatboy Slim for that brief moment at the end of the 90s?
I like Fatboy Slim. I mean, I remember, I guess it was like either 98 or 99, the video for Praise You. That was fascinating to me because it was shot like it was shot like really cheaply. Like it was sort of the anti-music video because at the time you had like because this was like 99. You had like all these high budget, lots of overblown music videos. And this was shot with a camcorder outside of a movie theater. And it starred Spike Jonze as like his alter ego, which I believe his name was Richard Cuffey. It was sort of a flash mob before, like 10 years before flash mobs became prominent.
Well, the 90s also brought us, and now maybe I'm not an old man shaking a stick at the sky with this, maybe I am. This is where you guys, your opinions will determine my sanity in this, where you saw bands supposedly progress and grow, in quotes, as musicians, and yet they just got worse and worse and worse. Like Metallica and Faith No More and it was the 90s where all these bands that were really good in the 80s and in the late or in the and in the early 90s, and by 95 you're going, I cannot listen to this. This is not the same band anymore. Might have the same members, it's not the same band.
Well, I'm not okay with determining your sanity because I can't really handle that much responsibility, but in the case of Metallica, I could not agree with you more. I think Load was the most accurately named album of that entire decade.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I
fully agree with Charlie on Load.
I consider the Black Album the last album that Metallica put out.
I enjoyed the Black Album, and that came out in 92, if I'm not mistaken.
Select songs I like off the Black Album. I don't think I like the entire thing.
Yeah, like I wasn't a huge fan of Inner Sandman, but I liked, let's see, Sad But True. I thought that was a good song.
Yeah, and I liked Nothing Else Matters.
Nothing Else Matters was a good song, and Unforgiven was a good song as well.
But see, to me, what happened with Metallica is what, and a lot of the bands I'm going to bring up admit this, so this is not some supposition on my part. It was Metallica set a trend, whether they intended to or not, that destroyed all of heavy metal. And that was, we decided we didn't want to be musicians anymore, we wanted to be rock stars. What do rock stars need? They need heavy rotation on outside of Headbangers Ball, and they need radio play. So Metallica abruptly changes their style to become more radio-friendly. They get record sales like they've never seen before. So then all the other bands, all the thrash bands and all the other metal bands, change their sound to become radio-friendly to emulate Metallica. And Metallica somehow thinks they've grown as musicians and we're no longer trapped in the box that was heavy metal. Mm. We're now there for everyone. It's no.
I don't know.
You wanted to be a rock star, and to do that, you needed to get on the radio. That, to me, is selling out.
Well, I mean, I appreciate the fact that they tried some different things on some of the later albums, but, I mean, listen to Injustice for All. That's, like, progressive metal. It's, like, 9-10 minute, like, weird time signatures. It's almost like listening to a heavy metal version of Rush.
Yeah, still I mean, metal. Same thing with Ride the Lightning.
Yeah, no,
I
it's definitely still metal. So it's not like I really felt they had to grow that much more as musicians. Obviously, they have an immense amount of talent.
Yeah, one is like the greatest song ever.
If we're going for Justice for All, I actually got to go title track on that. I got to go And Justice for All title
as
song
like
off that album. Or maybe
that
closely
song,
followed by
Dyer's
Eve. Maybe Dyer's Eve.
Yeah, Dyer's Eve is really good.
Dyer's Eve is Dyer's
song.
Eve, which is the Hello Mother, Hello Father song on that one. Dear Mother, Dear Father.
I think that's Dyer's Eve.
That's Dyer's Eve.
Yeah, that is Dyer's Eve.
I love that.
I don't know. I really liked one. I mean, I didn't like that everybody that I hung out with when that song was out decided to learn that on guitar and play it whenever they were awake.
Well, and then you also got to remember there was something else with Metallica. And I wish I had the soundbite handy that I could play in the show. So unfortunately, I can't. Because Metallica has done a lot of work to scrub this from the internet. But when they were on Headbangers Ball, the night, whatever night one first premiered, which would have been 88, 89, they outright said, this is the only music video we are ever going to make. If you ever see another music video from Metallica, it means that we've sold out and you should stop buying our albums. Well, let's see. As soon as I saw Enter Sandman, I'm the one screaming, fucking sellouts! And I'm called an angry person that can't grow with the music.
Well, here's the thing. With me and, like, sellout albums, I sort of, like, it depends on the band. Like, if the band's been kicking around for 15 years and producing great music and getting, you know, barely being able to feed themselves, and they finally hit one big album, and yeah, maybe the song is crap or the album is crap, I really don't begrudge them the money. They've, as far as I'm concerned, they earned it with the previous 15 years. If they want to make crappy music and make money for the rest of their career, I still have those 15 years of music to listen to.
About sellout bands, one band that
that's
I really, really liked in the 90s was The Offspring.
Yeah, and, God, their new albums suck.
Yeah, they were
great. Yeah, their new album is
when they
awful.
Were on Epitaph. Then, like, their first big major label album was Americana, which was an okay album, but everything after has just been just horrid.
Well, I think Conspiracy of One is a good album.
I actually like Conspiracy of One better than I like Americana, but that's just me.
I think
everything
better.
After Ixnay is not good, so.
Well, the thing about The Offspring, though, and when you listen to their new album, I think this is the biggest loss if you compare new stuff with their earlier stuff. they always had one or two songs in every album that were just that it was just a funny song.
Like Don't Pick It Up. Ixnay.
Or Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
Don't Pick It Up, Pretty Fly for a White Guy, One Fine Day.
Which one was Jennifer's Lost the War?
That's off their first album.
Yeah, Jennifer Lost the War is their first one. I love that album.
Okay, because I only have that song on like a Punk-O-Rama Volume 19 or something like that.
No, that's Volume 1.
They recorded that album when they were still in high school at Huntington Beach, I think.
Yeah, that was
89,
that was
before, I think, actually.
That was before Smash.
I believe that album came out in 89. Like, let me double check, but I think I was always shocked because the first Offspring album is actually the first album I ever bought was Smash, which is still one of my favorite albums. But as I went back through their discography, I was always shocked that their first album had been around for so long, because Smash came out in, what, 94, I think?
94 sounds about right. Because I remember was all over the metal station in my town.
I was familiar with Ignition. Yeah, their self-titled album came out in 89.
Yeah, but it got a big re-release after Smash became a big hit.
Right.
Epitaph.
And everyone thought it was like a new album.
Yeah.
What do you guys think then about the album that puts a band on a map in the 90s being the one that, and I don't like this band at all, and I think the creator, you know, you guys are probably going to disagree with me. I don't think Kurt Cobain is this tortured fucking genius that everyone else in the world seems to think he was. I think he was a guy that got lucky. He didn't like Smells Like Teen Spirit or any of the songs that put Nirvana on the map. Have you guys ever heard their first album, Bleach?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like a garage band. That's what Cobain wanted. He said the Smells Like Teen Spirit and In Utero and all that, those, they sound too produced, and he doesn't want to sound like that. So he kept wanting to try to take them back to the Bleach era. And I just don't buy this, oh, poor me, I'm such a poor rock star. Oh, I'm a corporate, I hate corporate sellouts. You still cashed the checks, didn't you, Kurt?
Now, what was that one album of
that
Nirvana put out? I can't remember. It had a bunch of B-sides on it. It had Sliver on it.
Incesticide.
Yeah, Insecticide.
No, it's Incesticide.
Incesticide.
Oh, I always thought it was called Insecticide.
And once again, we're back to incest.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm surprised you don't know
Kevin
that.
Kevin always
being on
turns
this show.
It there. Kevin always swings it back that way.
Incesticide.
Well, she's got it all. Yes, she does.
That was my favorite Nirvana album, and it still did have a lot of the garage band sound that.
That should be a segment on the show, The Daily Incest.
Daily, get it? Double entendre?
Yes, exactly. We'll work on that. We're efforting.
What? When it comes to Kurt Cobain, I did not out and out hate the guy. I was not a huge fan of Nirvana, but I listened to him because they were around. But I didn't buy the whole tortured artist mystique that he tried to build around himself, and I think the main purpose of Nirvana was to introduce Dave Grohl to the world. But they came around at the right time.
The big thing with Nirvana is I liked them, but I didn't understand any of their songs until about 7 years after the fact.
That's because, as Weird Al Yankovic would put it, I'm singing with marbles in my mouth.
That was the first album I ever bought, was Off the Deep End.
Well, then what do you guys think about, and again, we're back to maybe I'm an old man screaming at the sky, maybe I'm not, the either stretching of labels or the misappropriation of the terms, or perhaps maybe you guys will come down on the side of, it is the evolution of the label. But by the 90s, you saw all these bands that were calling themselves punk bands. And to me, they were just heavy metal bands with guys that had mohawks. The punk bands of the 90s, to me, were not punk bands. They just called themselves punk bands. Agree
or
disagree?
I disagree. I take massive steps to avoid that kind of shit. I mean, judging a band not on how they sound, but whether or not you consider them to be authentic or anything, I just think that's bullshit, and that's the dark side of hipsterdom, I think. And I try to avoid that whenever I can. Like, one of my favorite punk bands is Rancid, and they gained, you know, the most notoriety, I think, in the 90s. Yeah, I mean, there's elements of ska, there's elements of reggae. And
I don't think
it's an evolved form of Operation Ivy anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And I think, I don't know, I don't think adding other shit and still calling it punk should be held against him. I just think it's, you know, it's not being boring. And I think if more people did that now, then music wouldn't suck so bad.
I've heard Slipknot and Limp Bizkit called punk bands.
Oh,
no,
those are metal bands.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
They're not punk bands. I do agree with Rancid, because Rancid seemed to truly understand the punk mystique, for lack of a better word. So, or like, even though Bad Religion goes back to the 80s, their best album, I think, Recipe for Hate, was in the 90s. That, to me, was an actual punk album. Even though it had heavy metal stylings to it.
Bad Religion has always been, and it's still, one of my absolute favorite bands.
I love Bad Religion, and my favorite Bad Religion album actually didn't come out until 2004.
Okay, as someone who took a history of punk class in college, punk and metal have borrowed from each other for so long, back and forth. Listen to Institutionalized, which is this metal punk hybrid. Or listen to Modern Metalcore,
Kevin, shut up and get me a Pepsi.
Give me a soda, bitch!
Actually, I'm drinking Pepsi right now. Look at modern metalcore bands. Regardless of how you feel about them, they have cribbed and borrowed back from hardcore. Look at the breakdown sections in an Atreyu song, or a Hatebreed song, or something like that. Or listen to The Shape of Punk to Come. What's that band? What the hell is that band's name again? God damn it! Very metal influence, as well as electronic and jazz. It's very progressive. But I mean, the two genres have borrowed from each other liberally for so long that it's like, it's hard to judge one of their. I mean, there's some bands that are obviously metal bands, and there are some bands that are obviously punk bands. And even punk itself has evolved and changed so much. I mean, do the Ramones really sound like Pennywise? But, skate punk is kind of its own thing. But it's like that, ska is like that too. I mean, compare first wave ska to third wave ska, or what I kind of refer to as fourth wave ska. Listen to a band like Streetlight Manifesto. Those bands sound nothing alike.
You know who else I listened to a lot in the 90s was the Mighty Mighty Bosstones.
Oh, I love the Bosstones. I've seen them live too.
Again,
I really
they
like
are
them.
Called punk. 120 Minutes called them a punk band.
They're ska core.
Ska core. Yes, that's a perfect name.
Josh, but listen to some of their early stuff. Very hardcore influenced.
I've only heard the couple that were on MTV in the early 90s. So I don't know the names of the songs.
They've been around since the mid 80s. Joe Gittleman, their bass player, was in a Boston hardcore band called Gangrene.
The only videos they've ever had, I think, were off the Let's Face It album, which came out in the 90s.
All their stuff, they had some stuff off of Jackknife. Their couple, 2001, I think, Jackknife to a Swan, I think they had one or two songs. Their newer stuff, as Dickie's voice began to have problems, he did less screaming. But if you listen to stuff like off Ska Core, The Devil and More, it is pretty hard. And they have such heavy ties to the Boston hardcore scene that they're as a band, they're different.
Yeah, Dickie Barrett's voice, it's like, instead of cereal, he just like has a bowl of cigarettes and pours whiskey on it and eats it with a spoon.
Probably.
Well, I was going to say that with punk, the 90s is when I really got into punk, and I discovered it backwards, because it started with bands like Green Day and The Offspring.
Yeah, Blink-182.
That was where I started too, Jasky.
And through Offspring being part of Epitaph is how I came across Bad Religion and NOFX and everything that's been on Epitaph. And through hanging out with people that like that music, they're like, well, you should check out The Circle Jerks and Dead Kennedys.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of Dead Kennedys, Lard.
Lard. Oh, what was the band that Jello Biafra was playing with at Coachella this year?
Jello Biafra and the Guantanamo School of Medicine.
School
of Medicine?
Yeah, last night, Kevin, I was listening to their new album, Audacity of Hope. I was just listening to that last night.
Watched them, because they played at Coachella last, they're playing again this weekend, but I watched a live stream of that. I thought of you the whole time, Josh, because I was watching Jello do his thing.
Well, but I mean, Jello Biafra, Lard, is basically, what if the Dead Kennedys and Ministry had a bastard child? And it was awesome.
I could see that.
Now, New Wave Ministry or Industrial Ministry?
Land of Rape and Honey, Mine is a Terrible Thing to Taste, Psalm 69, or How I'll Teach Your Mother to Suck Eggs Ministry.
So not their first New Wave album, which...
their new, no, that was terrible.
And Al doing like a fake English accent.
Right. And
you,
then
you know what I really liked, though, like about, because that kind of reminded me, music of the 90s, the grunge era, like the grunge movement got the most attention, and that's what most people remember now. But on the other end of that spectrum, you had bands that were not trying to be profound. They were not trying to, like, you know, like, they didn't seem so desperate to be meaningful. You had bands like Whale, you know, the Flaming Lips, before they got really popular. Yet, I don't want to use
Sonic
a term
Youth.
Like, yeah, well, not really Sonic Youth. They were still kind of emotional, but bands like, well, like Primus, like they weren't really serious. They weren't all emo. They were funny and they were entertaining. And like the other day, I was on YouTube, and I don't know what I was watching that recommended this, but the video for Hobo Humping Slobo Babe by Whale. That is such a great song, and it's quintessentially 90s to me, because you had some people that were moping all the time, but you had people that were just original at the time. Like, I'd never heard anything like that at the time.
Look at ska music. I mean, how opposite of grunge is ska music?
Yeah.
It's like, here's some happy music you can dance to, or you can go in the corner and mope with those guys.
Right. They probably have heroin.
Primus was one of my favorite bands from the 90s, and came across them because they played Winona's Big Brown Beaver on the radio. And my sister and I would listen to that song all the time and wonder, if are they singing about a vagina or an actual beaver?
They were actually singing about a hermaphrodite. But if that was your discovery of Primus, you were way late to the party.
Yeah,
whatever their first video was, I saw it on Headbangers Ball and went, I don't like this, no.
Their first video, if I'm not mistaken, was Mr. Crinkle, which was off the Pork Soda album.
Sounds about right.
Was it primarily a guy in a fat suit and a pig mask playing a cello?
That sounds familiar, so it might have been.
Yeah, that was off the Pork Soda album. That, I think, was 93.
My introduction to Primus was Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, when they played Tommy the Cat. And should have won that Battle of the Bands, because
they really should have. Tommy the
way,
Cat was
way,
great
way
song.
Better than Wild Stallion.
I mean,
Wild Stallion.
But Kevin, that movie had George Carlin playing Pam Grier, and you know what? I'm all right with that.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, that almost turned me gay.
George Carlin's never been hotter than when he was Pam Grier in tight spandex leather.
You know what looks good on you? Pam Grier's body.
Now, I did want to take a second here to address the 20 worst songs of the 90s.
Okay.
Hold up, one more little brief discussion, because I know we're a bunch of white dudes.
Sure.
But I think we have to discuss the evolution of gangster rap
and
coast rap, because it's so important to the hip-hop genre and the development. Notice I did not use evolution, I just said development.
Well,
the hip-hop genre.
That's very true.
No, I agree, Kevin, that's very important. And I don't know if I'm right in the head for this. I've always thought the real hardcore stuff, like Ice-T in his early albums, very metal influenced, even before Body Count was involved.
Well,
very metal. I mean, you could hear the guitars and the heavy bass, and his stuff was less rap and more rap minus or metal minus the guitar.
Well, there's a line in a MC Lars song where Ill Bill from Nonfiction says, he grew up with heavy metal and hip hop. The energy was the same to me. And there's a lot of ties between metal and hip hop, like just in terms of like influence and feel, like they share some of the same bases. I think
there
that metalheads get along with hip hop guys a lot, pretty well, actually.
There were a couple of collaborations in the 90s that really stuck out for
me. You Anthrax had,
with Public Enemy. Bring the Noise.
Yeah, that was a good one. And you also had Biohazard with Onyx for the Judgment Night soundtrack. You remember that?
Well,
yes,
Biohazard always
that.
Had kind of a rap sound to just their vocal style to begin with.
See, that's what nu metal should have been, because I really like Biohazard.
Me too.
And they had the hip-hop influence, but they did not completely bastardize it the way that like Limp Bizkit
did.
Yeah, exactly.
Even now, I wouldn't call it rap or hip hop influence, But you look at a band like Agnostic Front or Sick of It All, like especially like Sick of It All's Injustice System. You could easily see stripping the music out of that and that being a goddamn rap song, couldn't you?
The hardcore revival band you're talking about?
Yeah, the early 90s. Like I was introduced to Sick of It All through Injustice System, and I'm like, holy crap, this is some of the most intense, no pun intended, hardcore shit I've ever heard.
Death by Stereo I always liked.
Death by Stereo was cool.
I saw them live, actually. Open for AFI, of all things.
Huh. You've been to a shitload of concerts in your day.
New AFI or 90s AFI?
It was right after Sing the Sorrow came out, so the early 2000s. But they did a lot of their older stuff still back then. I've seen them twice.
Before we get to Jowski's list, you reminded me of something. What about when bands, like he brought up new or old AFI, when bands change singers and abruptly change style, like when Anthrax got the Armored Saint guy, or when Motley Crue got John Corabi. Were those bad versions of those bands. And the Anthrax one's still kicking.
I usually can't listen to bands that have new singers, because...
With the exception of Iron Maiden. Iron Maiden, Bruce Dickinson, was an improvement over Paul Di'Anno.
Yeah, no, I do. I agree. My Iron Maiden's an exception. I can tolerate Journey with the Filipino gentleman they currently have.
I like that.
Faith No More. Faith No More from Chuck Mosley to Mike Patton.
Yeah, usually that's not the case.
Or the Misfits going back about a half hour.
Yeah. But like 90s Van Halen was terrible Van Halen.
Van Hagar?
Yes, I never liked Van Hagar. And you know what? The weird thing is, I liked Sammy Hagar's 80s solo stuff. I just didn't like him in Van Halen.
Didn't you get pulled over listening to I Can't Drive 55 one time?
Well, it should have been called I Can't Drive 80.
Because you really can't.
That song came on Classic Rewind on Sirius XM when we were driving around the other day. I told my wife that story. It's like Josh got pulled over one time listening to this song.
And it was just ironic. We got pulled over, and that happened to be the song on the radio. And I'm just like, I actually looked up at the sky and went, really?
Well, because I happen to think that Van Halen, the music video and the song for Right Now, is just one of the worst things that humanity has ever done, ever. It's like the Holocaust, Van Halen's Right Now, and that's it.
Didn't we have this discussion one time, Jowski? You're like, did you like Van Hagar? I'm like, yeah, I think I liked Van Hagar. It's like, what songs did you like from Van Hagar? I'm like, and I go back and look up like a list, like, Humans Being, that's the only Van Hagar song I like.
From the Twister soundtrack.
But the 90s also gave us the most overblown, yet somehow I love it song ever. I'd Do Anything for Love, But I Won't Do That by Meatloaf, video directed by Michael Goddamn Bay, the man Charlie would swallow
for. That's a 90s song. I always associate it with the 80s, but you're right, it is a 90s song.
It is, and...
92, I really like think, song. Maybe 91?
I got it for my 13th birthday because I remember I listened to I Would Do Anything for Love and then watched Texas Chainsaw Massacre for the first time all in the same night.
That was Bad Outta Hell 2 Back Into Hell.
I have the laser disc of that album that's got all the music videos directed by Michael Bay. He directed the concert too. It's just glorious.
All right, so let's get onto this list now.
Yes, let's.
So, the 20 worst songs of the 90s. We've got Sugar Ray Every Morning.
Yeah, that was right there at the end. That was like 99 or 98, maybe.
My wife goes, oh, I liked that song.
Oh, I hate that song.
Do you guys want to know something funny about Sugar Ray? Have you ever heard his original heavy metal band, the Shrinky Dinks? Yes, they're not bad.
Isn't the Sugar Ray album, except for that first single they had, Fly, isn't it like mostly punk?
Yeah.
Or metal?
Yeah, and the thing is, and their follow-up album, which they called 1459, it had Every Morning on it, which was a lot more like that song. And the reason the album was called 1459 is because...
15 Minutes of Fame.
Yeah, we know we're at the end of our 15 minutes, and they were.
But Mark McGrath has turned that into a successful career doing entertainment stuff.
Yeah. Stuff related to music, but not quite being music. And it's good of him to recognize his place.
Okay, we've got a song I'm not too familiar with, Sean Mullins' Lullaby.
Not a good song.
I don't
think I know that one.
It's, I don't know, he's got kind of a raspy kind of voice. It's like, I don't know how best to describe it, like kind of a Tom Petty after, like, swallowing a steel wool pad.
So sort of like Tom Waits while gargling mouthwash?
Yeah, kind of. The lullaby song was the Everything's Gonna Be All Right.
Oh, that song. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. That one is not good. And then it's intercut with him, like sing-talking.
So, number 18 is Paula Cole, I Don't Want to Wait.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, terrible.
Again, not a song I associate with the 90s, but I guess it would have been early 90s.
But, no, it was late 90s. It was like was Dawson's
it?
Creek.
It was the
oh,
Dawson's
yeah,
Creek song.
Oh, yeah, that was the Dawson's Creek theme. Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to wait for our lives to be over.
Yeah, terrible.
That's a parodyable song. You can use it in all sorts of goofy situations. Yeah, awesome.
Number 17 is Aqua, Barbie Girl.
I like that song.
I remember the first time my wife pulled that up on the radio one day. We were driving somewhere and it was just, you know, randomly on some radio station. I kind of looked at her like, is this a real song?
They're Swedish, right?
The
Aqua.
Definition of all. I think
from somewhere in Europe.
I think that song is to karaoke what the Hindenburg was to recreational Zeppelin travel.
Yeah.
Just ended it permanently.
Well, Barbie Girl, that became popular right as I was starting film school and I was doing all these video production classes. Ah. And everything I edited, everybody's like, make sure you put the Barbie Girl song in it.
That's probably the worst offender on a karaoke night when someone tries to suicide their friend. They say, bring him up here, make him sing Barbie Girl. And it's, there's nothing good about that song. No redeeming qualities at all.
Have you ever seen a guy actually do it, though? Like, okay, yeah, I'll man up and sing Barbie Girl, because F you.
I've seen people try. I've never seen anyone quite pull it off.
Not Swedish, by the way. Danish-Norwegian. Right area of the world, though. I was close.
Don't act like there's enough of a difference to mention it.
Number 16.
If we have any Danish or Norwegian or Swedish fans, they will murder you because there's like a huge rivalry. I remember one time my brother had a roommate in college who was from Sweden. And I just remember because we used to play World of Warcraft with him sometimes. And I just remember one time I was sitting around in class and someone was talking about how Swedes are drunks all the time. And he goes, F that! Danes are the drunk!
Yeah. Yeah, I know there is like a heated rivalry.
Profound,
but
like, hatred rage. You're like, oh my god, there's some serious rivalry going on here.
I mean, you're all just pasty white people. Just get over it.
Number 16 is from the late 90s. It's LFO.
Says the guy with the last name McMullen?
Yes, that's how I know.
Come on. You're as Irish as me. We don't get to make comments about being pasty and white.
Yeah, but we don't care if we're mistaken for Scottish either, though.
Number 16 is also from the late 90s. It's LFO Summer Girls.
Yeah.
I like a girl who wears Abercrombie and Fitch.
Yeah. That kind of falls into the dumb but harmless category. I mean, it wasn't good, first of all. It was nowhere near good, but it wasn't something that I hated with a passion.
The worst thing I've ever seen, though, was, well, I heard it, I didn't see it, was the college station here. When that song was popular.
Oh, Rev 89?
Yeah, two of the college DJs wrote their own version of the song about Pueblo girls.
And they thought they were so very clever.
And it was terrible.
Yeah, I remember when that happened. It was awful. In fact, that was right around when I met you.
Yeah, it was that
with
same
at the Brave New World Film Festival?
Number 15 on here is New Radicals, You Get What You Give.
I like that song.
Number 14.
I think I know that song.
I do. It's just pretty much there's one verse that's just all just name checking.
If there's not a single boy band or Spice Girls on this list is screwed.
Oh, I'm sure there's going to be. Number 14.
Rule the world, spice up your life, every boy and every girl. Spice up your life.
I just threw up out of my butt.
If you want to be my lover, you got to get with my friends.
All I want to do is zig a zig a zig ah, right? Something like that.
Jesus Christ.
Number 14 is Cisco Thong Song.
I love the Thong Song. It's an awful song. It's so funny.
It
so
is
bad. We're guys who watch bad movies for entertainment and review purposes. We can enjoy bad songs too, right?
We can if they're funny.
Well, what I think is funny is the movie Snow Dogs with Cuba Gooding Jr. and Cisco and a talking dog.
The video for Thong Song is just ass. Just all ass.
All right, the only good thing about Snow Dogs is James Coburn. He's a man who was once struck by thunder.
So,
that's badass.
What the hell happened? This is kind of off topic, but as long as we're on the subject, what in the hell happened to Cuba Gooding Jr.? Dude wins an Oscar and then just does the worst possible movies he can do.
Well, he was in Pearl Harbor, and I think that pretty much sealed it.
Yeah, well, that is like that's like the quality herpes.
I heard Martha watching Snow Dogs the other day, and I go into the living room. I'm like, ah, I thought I heard the familiar strains of Cuba Gooding career dying. Number 13 on this list is Vanilla Ice Reborn as Snow Informer.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, it's not Vanilla Ice, but yes, Informer is a bad song.
It's not the same guy. It's just a very similar guy.
When Vanilla Ice changed, he went back to his birth name of Rob Van Winkle. And all I can remember is him on the Bloodhound Gang track.
It was off of One Fierce Beer Coaster, wasn't it?
Yeah, I know all the lyrics to the song, but I cannot remember the song.
I don't remember the song either. I've heard it, but I don't remember the name of it. Yeah, Snow.
Jimmy Pop totally schools him.
I don't know. My wife really likes that song, and I've always been confused about that. But and she can't really explain it either. So. It just has a certain energy about it that she finds appealing.
Number 12 is Joey Lawrence. Nothing My Love Can't Fix.
Ouch.
Which I'm thank God I do not remember that song.
I'm pretty sure I saw the video for this at the end of an episode of Blossom. I watched Blossom. We blossomed together.
I think Jowski watched for six.
Enjoy your flowery hat.
Number 11, Ricky Martin, Livin' La Vida Loca.
Yes.
Totally
such
not
a
gay.
Bullshit song.
That is a terrible
song. Totally hetero song. Totally a hetero
song.
Yes,
the most hetero song by the most hetero man on the planet. Well, next to George Michael. And Boy George.
Number 10, Shania Twain, You're Still the One That I Want.
Yeah, anything by Shania Twain.
Man, I feel like a woman.
God,
sure
I hate that song.
Too many people karaoke that song.
Yeah, a lot of these are just...
Get anything cool like somebody coming up and going, Sabbath, Paranoid, I want to karaoke that?
Yeah, that's happened a couple times. Because I've been a karaoke DJ for way too long. Just way too long. I've heard like really good songs, but I've heard really terrible ones too. Lately in karaoke, I just discovered that we have it in the system we're using. Punk Rock Girl by the Dead Milkmen.
Oh!
I've been singing that every night, and I love that song.
Tom Bad Guy, our friend, only does Doors songs at karaoke.
Yeah. He was there one night, and the first song that he sang was The End.
By the Doors?
And I'm like, dude, that is... I mean, you know, granted, we have it available, but that's not really a karaoke song.
I guess it is if you're all morose.
He loves the Doors.
Yes.
He does, and I won't begrudge him that. I love the Doors myself, but
if I ever did karaoke, it would be nothing but Smiths and Morrissey, so I'd depress the whole bar.
No, Kevin.
The bartender would love me because
Kevin, if you do karaoke, you got to listen to this episode again and hear all the songs Charlie hates so much just to like hate him.
Just go back through this and I'm doing a huge set, Charlie. Got like six songs here. Just hand him the list. And he just goes, "You MF-er."
All right, Charlie, I'm gonna
I'm pretty much calloused, but by this point, I mean, like, if this were like a rape scenario, then my asshole would just be like, I would say styrofoam packing peanuts in a tennis ball can.
I'm gonna go down to karaoke tomorrow and sing number 9 on this list. Right Said Fred, I'm Too Sexy.
That's another one of those songs.
Again, the most hetero song ever made.
it's another one of those songs that guys will sing. Because they think they're being funny and ironic, but they're like the 30th person that month to think they're the first one to do it.
Number 8 is Hanson's Mbop.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
Which that song is basically if a issue of Tiger Beat came to life, Little Shop of Horrors style, and tried to get you.
They have like, they're like 16 in that album. I can't, you know, they're kids. I'm not going to judge their immature musical talent.
Little kids don't rock, and they never will.
They're actually, Hanson's released new albums, and it's actually not terrible, so.
Number 7 is Los Del Rio, Macarena.
Oh my God. I'm actually a little surprised that's not higher.
In a Spanish class I had in high school, one of the tests we had was we had to listen to this song about 8,000 times, and we had to write the lyrics out in Spanish and translate them to English.
What a bunch of... What kind of masochistic bullshit is that?
Yeah.
We did that in German class, but we did it with Nana's 99 Luftballons and, like, Die Fantastischen Vier's Dida and Rammstein songs.
Rammstein and shit.
No, they didn't let us do Rammstein. Though it was always funny because our German teacher would always look at us funny when we were listening to Rammstein. Because we all understood the lyrics to the Rammstein stuff because we would look everything up. And she always thought we were insane for listening. Because the Rammstein stuff is like, every song is about like deviant sex. So
yeah. Until one popped, I had 100 Luftballons.
Number 6 is Creed, Higher.
Yes.
Oh, my wife likes Creed. She owns that album. Ugh.
Creed'll back.
But my funniest Creed moment is, let's see here. Josh Gano, you know him. Kevin, do you know Andy Berman?
No. Tom talks about him occasionally.
He comes to karaoke every now and then. This guy was singing Higher by Creed. And loud enough for him to hear him while he was singing, and he knew he couldn't say anything because he's, like, singing the song. He goes, hey, which Creed song is this? Oh, yeah, all of them.
Number 5 is Baja Men. Who let the dogs out?
Yes.
Woof, woof.
I like their earlier stuff.
But it is an existential question. Who did, in fact, let the dogs out?
Number 4 is Billy Ray Cyrus, Achy Breaky Heart.
Oh, I hated that song so much. Him and that mullet and...
Someone really should have taken them out.
I prefer the Weird Al parody.
Achy Breaky Fart?
Achy Breaky Song.
Yeah.
Says basically don't play this epic
Don't play
song
that song, that Achy Breaky Song.
Number 3, Crash Test Dummies.
I love that song. Sorry. I like his deep baritone voice and his
This is actually a rare karaoke song, because I'll get this one every now and then too. And the people that sing this are really, really good at it.
You have to be.
You have to be. That's not a song that you can just half-ass.
Jowski, I think
no,
you were...
No, I have to do the Weird Al version
when that dude sang this song?
Yeah.
He was really good at it, and, like, he knew the song cold. It was. I had to admire it a little bit.
He sold that once there was a girl who...
He did, too. I don't think he looked at that screen one time.
I'd have to do the Weird Al version. He found... Little Mr. Happy was missing.
Yes, headline news about, like, Michael Faye and stuff.
Number 2 is Lou Bega's Mambo Number 5, which was stuck in my head all day the other day.
That's another terrible song that's just kind of fun because of its upbeatness.
And number 1, to bring us back full circle to where we started the night, Limp Bizkit, Faith.
There you go.
Not you gotta have Limp Bizkit song. You mean that's not good?
That song was awful, man.
That song's terrible, yet not the worst Limp Bizkit song.
In fact, that's the national level of someone thinking they're the first one to think of that.
And what this list has to say about that song, there was no reason for this, and because of it, Fred Durst is a little richer, and we all, as a species, are a little poorer.
Yeah.
I can't believe there was not a Fred single Durst, Metallica like, song on this list.
Wasn't Fred Durst, like, the hairstylist for Korn's Jonathan Davis or something bizarre like that? That's how he got discovered.
So he's the genius behind those white boy dreads?
What I think the worst Metallica song, because when Metallica was dead, because I was still going to give them a shot when Load came out, but then when I saw them performing and Avril Lavigne sang Fire or Fuel.
Okay, Fuel. Here's the thing. I think Metallica are such sellouts, I like the Avril Lavigne version better.
Yes, and shame on you, Metallica.
I just said that, didn't I?
Like, yes.
I just said it. I'm standing behind it. Who's with me, guys?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Josh,
I'm with
you
on that.
Hey, I don't like your girlfriend.
Speaking of not punk, I'm sick of Avril Lavigne being called punk.
Yeah.
That's what we call a
that
callback.
Last song that I was just singing from is more like a... Like that, what was that, Mickey, Tony Basil? It's more like that.
Yeah, I think that song owes a lot to Mickey. That's like mall pop.
But the 90s are, you know, where we're going to say that was the last of good music and the beginning of the bad music we have nowadays. You know, Aqua paved the way for Skrillex.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But when you think about
the only one who has no issues with Skrillex.
I don't know. What I take away from 90s music is the stuff that got all the attention was just the surface. Underneath, there was a lot of great things happening in music. I think that, you know, like Epitaph Records never got enough credit for everything they did for music in the 90s, which was a lot of good things.
Yes.
Well, but there was also a lot of bad things that, I mean, like grunge. Okay, I never liked grunge. But to me, there was no reason that grunge and heavy metal could not have existed side by side. But grunge murdered heavy metal in the middle of the night by suffocating it with a pillow and then dumping its body out of a third story window. Why couldn't grunge and metal have existed side by side?
Grunge tried to destroy
the
metal.
Yes, that was my thought. I was going to do the Jack Black, the metal. Grunge tried to destroy the metal.
Yeah. Just if
and you can hear, Dave Grohl laughing in the background because he's playing drums on that track. You can hear him laughing in the background.
I say, after you're done, audience, after you're done listening to this episode, go to YouTube, just as a personal favor to me, and look up the video for Hobo Humpin' Slobo Babe. And that's what I think of when I think of 90s music.
Wait, that's Alex Jowski.
Boom! Thank you, everybody, for listening. This has been a fun episode for me. I don't know about you guys, but there's like a whole list of songs that I'm going to go listen to right now. And I encourage you to do the same. So stay tuned for the Projection Booth with Mike White and join us again next week, won't you? For Alex Jowski, Kevin Daly, and Josh Hadley, this is Charlie McMullen for Geek Juice Radio. Thank you so much for listening.
Good night. The 90s sucked.
Can you go? Death row? What a brother, no. Once again, back is the incredible rhyme animal, the uncannibal
thief.
Public enemy number one, 5 points and
freeze.
And I got numb. Can I tell them never really never had a gun? But it's the wax that's the Terminator X-Fun. Got it, got me in a cell, cause my records they sell. Cause a brother like me said, well, Farrakhan's a problem and I think you ought to listen to what he can say to you. What you ought to do is follow for now. How are the people say? Make a miracle,
deep.
I'm the lyrical. Black is back, all in, we're gonna win, check it out.
Yeah, y'all, come on.
Here we go again.
Turn it up.
Cause a brother is madder than mad at the fact that's corrupt like a senator. Soul on the road, but you treat it like soap on a rope. Cause the beats and the lines are so dope. Listen for lessons I'm saying inside music that the critics are blasting before. They'll never care for the brothers and sisters right across the country has us up for the war. We got to get them straight.
Come on
now, they're gonna have to wait
till we get it right.
Radio stations like question their blackness. They call us a black, but we'll see if they'll play this.
Turn it up! Bring the noise!
From in front of me, the crowd runs to me, my DJ is warm, he's X, I call him Norm, you know, he can cut a record from side to side, so with the ride, the glide, some people safer than a suicide. Soul control, beat is the father of your rock and roll, music for what you're for, which you call a bad man, making a music, I'm using, but you can't do it, you know, you call demos,
but we ride demos too.
What you gonna do, rap is not afraid of you, beat is for Sonny Bono,
beat is for
Sonny Bono, run the MC for sitting, DJ couldn't be a bad, stand on his own feet, get you out your seat, beat is for Eric B and LL as well, hell,
wax is for Anthrax,
still like your rock bell, ever forever, universal and will sell, time for me. The exit,
Terminator exit,
turn it up! So you stop feeling like a comatose. Stand my man, the beat's the same when I boast those. Rock with some pizzazz, it will last, why you ask? Roll with the rock stars,
you'll never get accepted as.
We got to bleed the fear, we can't investigate. Don't need to wait, get the record straight.
Hey,
Monty in effect, got flavor, Terminator. Exercise checks, play to get paid. We got to check it out, that on the avenue. A magazine or two is dissing me and dissing you.
Yeah, I'm telling you.